Hello. Here's your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, January 4th. Democratic Senator Lucia Guzman, representing Denver, is the only legislative leader returning to her role, but it's something she didn't expect. She thought her party would gain the majority, but after the November election, Democrats are still one seat shy. She talked to Benta Berkland about the election and the upcoming session.
You're the only returning legislative leader coming into this session, and your party is still in the minority. Was this an outcome you were anticipating?
No, we didn't anticipate this. We had worked very hard to move ourselves back into the majority and had planned a session regarding the fact that we would be in majority and so forth. So we were disappointed.
Has it been more work than you anticipated, just because you did have to kind of shift focus?
We have a total of 17 of us, and 7 are brand new. So that's taken a lot of time. And then as well as those working with those who are returning, people are let down and people need lifting up, and they need some ways to deal with the fact that they're not, in fact, chairing a committee, but they're on the committee and so forth and so on. So that's where the heavy work comes from. It's really comes from leadership. That lower morale comes from not only our loss in the state Senate, but also the national elections, the tremendous turnaround that we've seen there, and the anxiety and concerns that are not only within our own caucus, but throughout the state and throughout the nation.
What do you think your party needs to do differently?
I don't think that we lost gaining the majority because we didn't do something. I think we will be meeting with various parts of the Democratic Party to look at what happened, what are the statistics, what does the data show us, and then begin to compile some objectives in terms of what we should do. Our party definitely needs to listen to each other, to our constituents across the state. Our party needs to be aware of the changes that are coming about in some critical counties across the state.
Do the results of the presidential election and the divided nation change how you approach the session, and if so, how?
It does change. First of all, we need to look at what actions might filter down to us. Issues around renewable energy, climate change, issues about immigration, and so forth and so on. We need to be a little bit more on the defense, ready to defend who we've been, what laws have been passed.
Do you think it'll be harder for your party to work with Republicans? Do you see yourself more as the opposition voice, or do you think there will be more bipartisanship? We're not leading into a big presidential election year.
I think we'll be able to work together in two or three different areas. We want to come to some kind of agreement, because over the past years, members of both of our parties, our constituents, have wanted certain things to happen. I believe that we both want the same things, but we have different ways of going about it. There's not an evil and good situation here. It's just someone won and someone lost, but the players in many ways are the same.
It maybe makes a difference, too, that the lawmakers here spend a lot of time face-to-face with each other, working with each other, being on the floor all day together and sometimes late into the night, so you build maybe a different relationship than in Washington, where there isn't as much face time.
Oh, that's exactly right. And then we're a small group, 35 people.
One thing that is new this year, you've created a position, the Deputy Minority Leader for Conservation, Clean Energy, and Climate Change. Mm-hmm. Talk about your reasoning behind this and why you wanted this specific position versus lawmakers working on the issue as they see fit throughout the session.
I had planned long and hard for our being in the majority, and one of the plans I had was to separate agriculture, natural resources, and energy. I was going to separate energy from that committee because I feel like that is one of our most important issues for these next 2 years.
That was Senate Minority Leader Lucia Guzman. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver.
On the eve of the opening session on January 11th, stay tuned for more Capitol coverage profiles of legislative leaders, as well as Benta Berkland's interview with Governor John Hickenlooper. One interview per day will air this entire week on the KVNF regional newscast. New research says children as young as 4 could be picking up nonverbal social biases from adults. Eric Galatis has more.
To adults, it's sometimes unclear how much goes over kids' heads and how much they're absorbing. According to research from the University of Washington, children as young as 4 could be picking up nonverbal social biases from adults. Allison Skinner, lead author of the research, says this study was meant to go further than others that had already shown kids adopt biases from their parents.
This is one of the first steps to talk more about how kids are actually picking it up from the culture, how they're absorbing it.
Researchers took a group of 4 and 5-year-olds and showed them 2 videos. An actor greeted 2 women with an action, such as giving one of them a toy. In the first, the actor spoke in a positive manner, smiling and speaking in a warm tone. In the second, the actor scowled and spoke gruffly. 2/3 of the children favor the recipient of the positive signals. Researchers then took the study a step further. They added friends with shirts the same color to the 2 women who had received the positive and negative signals. They found that children's preferences and biases extended beyond individuals to members of groups. 4 out of 5 children preferred the friends of the woman who received positive signals. Skinner explains the research mirrors what kids most likely experience in daily life and says parents may need to check even their innermost feelings if they don't want to pass on their own biases.
To really be aware that, I'm interacting with someone of another group, perhaps a group that my child doesn't have very much exposure to. So I need to be really aware of how I'm behaving and how much I'm giving them eye contact and all these various things and making sure that I'm giving a positive message.
Skinner says parents who have diverse groups of friends also may be shaping kids to be inclusive of people who are different from them. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
The city of Montrose announced in a press release that contractors were scheduled to begin construction on the Otter Road Bridge Replacement Project starting January 3rd. This project will replace an existing narrow and deteriorating bridge where Otter Road crosses the Lautzenheiser Canal. Construction is scheduled to be complete May 1st. Otter Road will be closed between Townsend Avenue and Riverview Court throughout construction. Motorists and pedestrians may detour around the project using Williams and Oxbow Drive. Residents are asked to please respect all coned-off areas and posted speed limits along detour routes during this closure. Questions regarding the project may be directed to Scott Murphy, city engineer, at 970-901-1792. And that was your regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.